Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And also from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Listen to my appeal. Strive to agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We thank Peggy Lanthrop for doing our scripture reading for this morning. And today, I remind you that we're continuing in a series of sermons about the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And we're considering how we can see these qualities, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, come alive in our daily lives. Because we're living in a time where the world desperately needs God's people to be demonstrating the fruit of His Holy Spirit. And we learned that this fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's really a byproduct of God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. But it's also something that we have to do our part at cultivating on a daily basis. I mean, just as producing a high quality fruit in a garden is something that takes hard work, it takes attention. The same is true when it comes to the Christian life. And so far we've seen how the fruit of love and the fruit of joy is to be cultivated in our life. Today we're turning our attention to how we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit known as peace. And I don't think I have to tell you, we live in a world now that is in desperate need of this fruit of God's peace. Both Jesus and Paul make it clear that if we're walking in the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, our lives will be defined by God's peace. Not turmoil, not rage or revenge or anxiety, but rather by peace. And to begin with, I think there are two important things that we need to remember about God's peace, the kind of peace we're talking about today. And first of all, we need to remember that peace is God's promise to us. I mean, God wants our lives to be filled with peace. I simply don't have time this morning to mention all of the places of the Bible where we hear about this promise of God's peace for us, but I think it's best summed up in Jesus' statements found in the Gospel of John. In chapter 16, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And then in chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And so peace, it is a promise from God that we can claim. But secondly, I think peace is God's command. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Now, I recognize there are some cantankerous souls out there who make it difficult to get along with them. I mean, they can't seem to get along with anybody. And there's really not a whole lot you can do about those kind of folks. Thank goodness they're few and far between. However, if we will do our part to try to get along with people and try to live in God's peace, a great percentage of the population will comply with that. And again, this is how God expects us, how He commands us to live as His people. So with this in mind, that peace is God's promise to us, it's what God expects of us, He commands us to live this way, let's talk about how we can cultivate this fruit of the Spirit known as peace. I think first of all, we have to realize that God's peace is something you have to put on yourself. You have to put it on. In other words, if you want to experience the feeling of inner peace in your life, then you have to do your part. Because experiencing the peace of God is not a passive process. In other words, you can't just wait and for God's peace to wash over your life and to fill you in some way, and you're suddenly filled with the peace of God and it take control of your life. No, you have to, in the words of Peter, seek peace and pursue it. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I think the same can be said of peace. It's something you have to put on. It's something you have to clothe yourself with. But how do you do that? I mean, is God's peace something you just can manufacture on your own? No. The source of being in peace with God is not because of anything we do, but rather it is because of what has been done in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have all found ourselves feeling separated from God and separated from one another and even from ourselves due to our sin and sinful behavior. And to resolve this dilemma, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, this is what we celebrate today as a part of this sacrament of Holy Communion. That Jesus bridges the gap between us and God. And through His sacrifice on the cross, He has brought peace into our relationship with God. Through God's grace in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. We've been reconciled with God. It's as Paul says in Romans 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That phrase, "we have peace with God," it can also be translated, you'll probably see a little footnote in your Bible, it can be translated as, "let us have peace with God." In other words, you know, it's up to us to accept God's peace, to receive it, to put it on, to clothe ourselves with the peace that God wants to give to us. But how do you do that? How do you clothe yourself with the peace of God? Well, there's a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, that I think would be well for every believer to memorize. And this is what it says: "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on You, because they trust in You." In other words, when we fix our minds and our thoughts on God and His presence with us, when you are steadfast in your focus on God's mercy and God's grace and God's love for us, then God's peace comes to us. Paul said basically the same thing in Romans chapter 8. He said, "To set the mind on God's Spirit is life and peace." So when I say that the first step toward peace is to put on God's peace, I'm saying that if you want to experience this fruit of this Holy Spirit known as peace, you have to put your minds on God. You have to be intentional about focusing on God. And there's a myriad of ways we can do that. You can read God's Word on a regular basis. You can do devotions. You can listen to music that lifts God up. You can also talk to God regularly in your prayer life. Every day, every moment of your life, you have the choice of what you're going to focus your mind on. And if you want to experience God's peace in your life, then you need to set your mind on God. This is how we put on and clothe ourselves in God's peace. It begins by saying, "I want to experience God's peace in my life. And so I choose to focus my thoughts and to center my thoughts on God's presence throughout this day." Well, here's the second way I think that we put ourselves in that direction of experiencing God's peace. The first is to put on Christ. The second is that God's peace is something you share, you seek to share with others. Now, you need to realize that it's impossible to share with others what you have not experienced in your own life. You can't share peace with others when your life is always in turmoil. And that's why putting on the peace of Christ in your own life is the first step. As you go through the day with your mind steadfastly focused on God, then you are able then to share peace with others. As we heard earlier, Paul says, "As far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone." We all know that's a hard thing to do, especially in the world we're living in today. I mean, in every family, at every place of work, In every church, there are one or two people who just love to keep things stirred up. You know what I'm talking about, right? We've all experienced these kind of people. There are some who just can't stand it to have peace. They just live for conflict. And the temptation, of course, is to repay that behavior with the same thing. But that's not the path of peace. And we're also living in a time in our country where we're being increasingly intolerant of those who have opinions that veer from what one group or another group deem as being acceptable. The battle lines have been drawn. And for many people, there's no middle ground anymore. And so you can actually spend your entire day in conflict with other people, especially if you're posting on social media. Or you can choose the path of peace. The Apostle Peter said, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, so that you may inherit a blessing." As Paul said in our text for today, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Now, this attitude of sharing peace with others, it goes beyond just dealing with political or ideological differences. It is to choose the path of peace at every turn in our life. It is about overlooking the instigator's provocations and refusing to instigate back. And sometimes that means holding your tongue. Sometimes that means changing the subject. Sometimes it means giving them a blessing instead of that snarky comment that you'd really rather give them. It is to choose the path of peace. So this fruit of the Spirit known as peace is something that we have to put on daily in our lives. It's something that we strive to share with others. But I think it's also something that we strive to create wherever we can. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So just more than just doing your part, the best you can to try to get along with others, there will be times when you have the opportunity to actually bring people together, to bring two sides together. And here's where I think we as a church have our greatest responsibility and opportunity in the world we're living in today. Listen, the goal in our relationship with others, especially when we're at odds with other people, is not to try to put other people in their place. It's not to try to bring other people down a peg or two. Our goal, in the words of Paul, is to do what leads to mutual edification. In other words, our goal is to build others up. It is to help other people experience and come to know the grace of God so that they too can experience a closer walk with Christ. This is our goal. There was a verse in Isaiah that I think is very important for us to hear. He says, "And thou shalt be the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." I think that's what we're called to be. To be the repairer of the breach instead of the instigator of conflict, or instead of being the one who is the destroyer of those who disagree with you. We are called to repair that which is broken, to bring peace. In Proverbs 12, Solomon says, "There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy." So in order to experience this fruit of the Spirit known as peace, and in order for our world to know this peace, Paul says, "Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." God's peace, it is something that is both a promise and it's an expectation for us, a command. As Paul says in his farewell in 2 Corinthians, "Listen to my appeal. Strive to agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." May we all strive to make demonstrating this fruit of the Spirit known as peace our goal in life every day. As a way of closing this morning for a prayer, I want to invite you to join me together in the prayer of St. Francis. It is also a prayer that's been known as the prayer of peace. And wherever you are in your homes, let us join together in saying this morning. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Now I invite you to prepare to come to what we call the Lord's table. And in your homes, I hope that you've made the preparations for this already and had the elements there of bread or juice or some means to participate with us. I remind you that this is not our normal way of celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. I mean, normally we would not be allowed to do this if we weren't together and these elements consecrated and shared with one another. But these are crazy and unprecedented times we're living in. And so, in the midst of this time, when we cannot be together, we are allowing a very unusual practice of communion. We're inviting you to join us online, in your homes. We believe that this is the Lord's table. We believe that Jesus Christ is the host, and that His Holy Spirit is beyond this space where we are, and that it can actually be present with you in your homes. And so, as we seek to commune with God's Spirit, and I think this is the way we connect with one another, we invite you to join us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. I invite you to hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. I invite you to join me together with the words you see on the screen. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May you hear the good news this day. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May you respond, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Now, let us hear the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right. And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join in their unending hymn. Let us respond together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Indeed, holy are You. And blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and You made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. And on the night which He gave Himself up for us, Jesus took bread, and He gave thanks to You. And He broke the bread, and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took a cup, and He gave thanks to you, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves and praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. Let us pray. O gracious God, we ask that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. Lord God, even though we are separated from one another by space, by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.